We have planned tonight. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. That's a little better, isn't it? Can you still read your Bibles? Is it too dark? We're not going to do a lot of reading, but I hope you can follow along tonight. Isaiah 55. Some of our young people will recognize this, and the story that I want to tell you before we read. When I was growing up, well, I'll share with you Mildred Shuttleworth. Miss Mildred is a lady back from in my home. She's a member of my home congregation now, though she wasn't when I was growing up. Miss Mildred is probably in her late 80s now, but she was a member of the Murray City congregation, which was about 30 minutes from where I grew up. And we had some family relations with some of those people. And so when I was young, we used to go to over to Murray City every year to their Vacation Bible School back, you know, in the place where I was from. Vacation Bible School was a really big deal when I was a young person. And Miss Mildred was and is a dear, dear, sweet lady. And I was probably, and I don't even remember how old I was, I want to say probably 7 or 8 years old at the most. I wasn't much older than that. I remember to this day going to Murray City as a 7 or 8 year old boy, and I remember the lessons that Miss Mildred taught me. I remember the craft that we did, that Miss Mildred, which in fact sat on my shelf in my room next to all my little baseball kid trophies and things. It sat on my shelf for probably 10 years. I remember so many minute details from Miss Mildred's time when I was growing up and all of the things that she taught us, because Miss Mildred had no rival in her ability to teach young people through a format like what you see in front of you, although we could give Miss Mildred a run for her money, I think, today. But when I was growing up, to have the ability and to do the kind of things and to have the kind of impact that Miss Mildred would have on somebody, and I'm just one person. Who knows how many thousands of kids sat through Miss Mildred's class, both in Bible class every day, every Sunday, and in VBS and the things that would happen. Let's read Isaiah 55 with me, if you will, please. Isaiah 55, let's start in verse 10. This is God talking to the people through Isaiah, and he says, verse 10, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but simply water the earth, making it bring forth and to sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Basic idea that God wants to get across, and it seems to be communicated here, is that when my word leaves, and God's talking from himself, when the word goes forth from me and it reaches the ears of people, it has effect. Whether we know it or whether we recognize it, just like rain falls from the sky and waters the earth, and just like seeds come and the water and all things combine together and produce, plants and things begin to grow, God says when my word leaves and it reaches people, it will not turn around and come back to me empty. It will have an effect on people. When I think about Miss Mildred, this is the kind of stuff that I think about. And every time we go to do some major project like this, I always tell our young people about Miss Mildred. Maybe you remember. I always tell people, I got some heads. All right, I got some people who remembered. That's exciting. I always tell them about Miss Mildred, because what we want people to realize is that if we will put work in and if we will do our best to simply allow the Word of God to come from us to other people, and just be the kind of tools that the Lord needs us to be, He will accomplish things with it. Because that's the nature of the Word of God. And it may not be then, and it may not be until many years later. I was thankful enough to grow up in a Christian home, and so I got to see Miss Mildred, and eventually the Murray City congregation lost too many members, and they combined with mine, and so now Miss Mildred is a member where I grew up, and so I get to see her when I go back home. But I would love to know how many people did not grow up in Christian homes and were just simply kids down the street from the Murray City congregation, and how many of them can remember what the Word of God says through Miss Mildred. And I have a feeling that it's probably a pretty substantial number. Because God is able to use people if we would be the kind of people who allow the Word to come through us. I always tell our young kids that, and I told our kids that when we went this year to West Virginia, the very first night that we arrived, we sat down and we talked about what we were going to do, or maybe it was the next morning, one or the other. We talked about what we were going to do, and we gave them a challenge to say, we're going to be here, and we are going to be tools in use to be able to have an effect on people. And we may not see it, and we may not have very many kids, which you can see turned out not to be the case. And who knows what we're going to be able to do, but we're going to do our best, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to be good examples, and we're going to be people who are devoted to the Lord, and other people are going to see that. And we want to be Miss Mildred to the people who would come to be with us. And I hope that we've just achieved a small amount of what she was able to do when I was growing up, and I think it's true. Well, tonight, the elders have asked me, it's been June since we have been here, but we have talked several times about taking an evening and talking about what we did in West Virginia, and not just telling you what we did, but why we do things, and sharing some success stories, and sharing some stories that I hope are informational and inspirational to you, and I hope you'll enjoy them as we go along. We spent, for those of you who don't know, we spent 9 days in Greenbrier County, West Virginia. If you watch the news, Greenbrier County was one of the hardest hit with all of the floods. It came about 6 days after we left. The floods came and did some major, major damage to the places where we were and stayed. The preacher's home was underwater for a little while. And so, if you recognize it, that's where we were. It's the congregation that I used to work for before we moved to Springfield, down in the southeastern part of the state. It's a smaller congregation of about, I think the Sunday that we were there, not counting us, I think there were 79 people there, 81 people, so it's a rather small congregation. It's the only congregation in the entire county, which is a pretty substantial size. It's bigger than Greene County as far as the area of land. The only congregation within 30 miles either way of anywhere you want to go. And so it's pretty rural and has a lot of challenges. And so we went there, and I guess one of the questions that are always asked, why in the world would you put all of the effort and the work, and why would you drive, how long did it take us, 15 hours, 14? Why would you drive 14 hours to go do something that you could do right here, that we could just simply do and be fine? And there are reasons for that, and it's not just because we wanted to go have fun, although we did. There are substantial reasons for that we do the things we do. We did this 2 years ago when we went to Wyoming, and the reasons are still the same, because there's a congregation who has very few people, who's not able to do the kind of things that you and I are used to, because we live in Springfield, Missouri, and there's 7 churches of 300 people within 15 and 20 miles of us, and that's the way it is. That's not the case there. We'll talk about it later, but we have congregations who simply can't do the things that we're able to do and have the kind of impact that maybe could be had if we were there. I'll say at the front, they literally, physically could not have handled the number of kids who showed up without just simply, and not that we are anything special, it's just they had too many kids. They never would have been able to accomplish what they had if we had not had, we had 5 and 6 kids working in every group because there were so many in each class. And so we had a congregation who said, we need some help. Would you like to help us? And so we said, sure, we'd be glad to, because it's good for them, and it's good and so encouraging, and we got countless numbers of notes and hugs and thank yous from everybody who said, we couldn't have done it if you had not been here. And so we went because we were asked. But we also go because, as part of what I do and part of what we do together as ministry for young people is to help to build fellowship and help to build relationships and help to build memories that help substantiate faith. and that help to undergird the things that go on. And so how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you who got to go are able to say, every one of you will say, I will never forget it for the rest of my life, right? Because some of you are crying already. Right? So no, some of you, you'll never forget it for the rest of your life because it's an experience that you share with each other. It's an experience that you share that's not at home. And so it's something that is different. It's something that's away from home. It's something that helps you experience the fact that that congregational life exists outside what you and I endure and what you and I have to, what you and I experience every day. And what we do is we want to try to help build faith in that way for the people that are here, because it says faith is much different sometimes when you go away from home, when there's one congregation with predominantly older people and your youth group is not 40, but is 2, right? Or 3. I think they have 3. So you have, when your youth group is not 40 people, but rather 3, church life looks a lot different. And so it's good for our young people to experience that. But it's also good for our young people, I think, to experience the fact that faith looks very much the same. And the fact that if you drive 14 hours, there are people who still want to serve the Lord, who still do the things that we do, who still love the Lord that we love, and still want to work for the same things that we want to work for. Sometimes it just looks a little different because of circumstances. And so when you say, why in the world would you do that? We would say, because we want to help the people who've asked for our help, and we want to help change the lives of our young people that we have here and help build some ways that they can substantiate their own faith. And so that's kind of why we do what we do, and I think it's beneficial. And I think if you've been a part of either the last trip or this past trip to Wyoming or to West Virginia, you can be a testament to that. When people say, why in the world would they do that? You can say, here's why, because y'all know, because you were there. And I hope that you recognize the same thing with this. So that's why we do this, and it's beneficial, and it helps. But we probably just, very simple things that are asked all the time, what in the world did you do? Why, if you're going to go out there, if you're going to be there for 9 days, and we were, what in the world do you do for 9 days that could be productive? Well, the first thing that I think that we did, what kind of service that we did, I would just simply say, a lot of our trip, or there were several days of our trip that were spent in service in the community where the congregation lives and where the congregation is housed. And I kind of put these things in 2 different categories. We did 2 different sorts of things that, again, could not have been done in the amount of time that we did it or with the amount of work that was put in, because we had 23 of us or 24 of us, 25, I forget how many we had. There's 25 of us, and there may, if they have a particular work day, there might be 3 or somebody who was able to do the kind of things that we did. And so we did sorts of things that were really important, and sort of these 2 categories of things that we did. On the top left is a picture of our young men who went to, we had to divide up into 2 groups of people one day, and we sent our young men to a place called, it was a, I don't remember the exact name of it, it's gone. They hide themselves. It's a shelter for women who are abused, women and children who are abused. I think it's just called the Women's Refuge Center. And it's sort of hidden kind of in the trees on purpose because they don't want other people to be involved in it, or don't want people showing up. Some of our young men went and helped in the playground and helped to rebuild some things and move some things so that when it's a place for when women and children are abused, they can leave and get out of an abusive situation and essentially go into this place and go into hiding and find safety and home and meals and care and those kind of things to be able to help them. And so we had a group go over to do things like that, which are organizations in town just right down the road from the church building where we were that are important and that are needful. We had a group of people go over to, our young ladies went down to a place called the Hospitality House in Alderson, West Virginia, which is just down the road. We don't have any pictures of that because it's one of those places that's sort of meant to be kind of secretive and those kind of things. The Hospitality House houses, there is a women's federal prison there. And so when people come and have to drive a long way to come and visit a family member who might be incarcerated, there is a hotel in Alderson. You don't want to stay in the hotel in Alderson. You don't want to be anywhere near it. And so there is this beautiful, gigantic home that someone has purchased and made it into essentially a little bed and breakfast, so that when families come, they can stay in this place just right down the road, and they don't have to spend a lot of money. And so our girls went down there and did some work in cleaning up and helping them get some things, which are just good organizations who just need help because they're in a small community and they need people. On the right are some guys that we went. There was a young lady who are about my age, so maybe not as young as I am, think about, but they had a farm way up on top of the hill, and she had run a berry farm, and had some trouble with some volunteers who did not do the kind of things they were supposed to do, and so she lost a ginormous, of her strawberry crop. And so essentially she was just a neighbor of the people who knew there and said, we would love to have some help. And so we said, hey, we got some people. And so we went and we did about 1,000 feet of strawberry beds, and we just gave them some free labor because we were there and some lady needed some help. And so there are things like that where we spend some time doing this. We had some of our young men go and mow some lawns and weed eat for some older ladies who are members of the congregation and some who are not, doing several of those kind of things. We spent a whole day working at the church grounds and pulling weeds, and we mulched and we planted and we mowed and we weed eated and we dug holes and we dug trenches and we did all of that kind of stuff that they're just not going to be able to do. So part of what we do during the day, most of the time, when we have time, is to be able to do things like that. In the bottom is just a picture of teenagers playing with kids, which I thought was just cool, which was fun to watch. We all just stood under the pavilion and watched them play duck, duck, goose with little kids for about 45 minutes, and so it was fun. So we do things like that. We have, when I mentioned there just a minute ago, a lot of our service ended up doing things like this, which is just being friends to kids who don't have a lot of friends. And none of this was even had anything to do with VBS. These are just kids who are there and who were either family members or they were the preacher's kids. The preacher's kids are going to show up in a lot of these things because they were there all the time. But we had kids of our young people who just spent time loving on other people that they don't always get because they don't have a lot of teenagers to look up to and a lot of people that are close to their age and who will pick them up and carry them around and throw them on the shoulder and do all those kind of things. And so we spend about every moment of every day, one of our kids is doing something like this, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. And so you've got things like that. There's some more, right? So there's about 15 more of these kinds of pictures of just kids hanging on the hips of our young people, just enjoying time together and helping each other. So you've got stuff like that. And then you have things that are other sort of, another sort, maybe just being good neighbors to the people. So this is in Lewisburg, there was a Civil War battle, and there were 30-some Confederate soldiers who were killed in the town. And they have this gigantic cemetery, which is a big mound in the shape of a cross, and all of the Confederate soldiers are buried there. And you can see the top of it. It was in bad shape, and the city needed some help. And so we volunteered to go put some mulch down and pull some weeds. And so simple things like that. And you have things where all of us are working in that place. We went to the city of Alderson, and we worked in their city park, and we did lots of painting, and shoveled some mulch, and we built some trails, and we did all those sorts of things, which to many might say, why would you drive 14 hours to go shovel mulch? And it would seem to be a difficult thing. After we finished this project, the city of Alderson put out a large announcement that the Lewisburg Church of Christ had come and did an amazing amount of service work for their park. And so people in the community know that the congregation there cares about its community. And so these kind of things are just very simple ways to say, yeah, we're good neighbors. We belong in our community, and we care about our community, and we're going to be part of that. And so we have kids who we painted bleachers, and we shoveled mulch, and we built trails. It's questionable how much work is being done in the picture on the left, but just we thought maybe you'd like to see that. But we painted, and we did lots of other things, and so it was an enjoyable day. And both cities were very thankful and put lots of stuff out. So now they are doing some work. Okay, so they are doing some things. They built some trails and moved some trees. You'll notice in the bottom picture there's a couple young men that you probably don't recognize because those are the locals. Those are the two who the day we got there basically said, we're going to take off work for a week. And they were with us for the rest of the week. They went everywhere we went and followed us around everywhere we went, and they worked with us all week that we worked, and they cried their eyes out when we left because it gave them some companionship, some Christian fellowship that they don't have on a regular basis. And so we'll talk more about that as we move along toward the end. And so you get things like that where some real service is done. And then, of course, as any If you drive 14 hours to beautiful country like West Virginia, you have to just have some fun. Okay, so we did spend some days where we just had some fun. And when we finished working at the city park, we drove up to an old friend of mine who lives way up on top of the mountain. And he has a house on the cliffside. And so we went and we stood on the cliff and just goofed around, not too close to the cliff, for those who might be worried. But we did stand out on the cliff and we got to view the beautiful scenery. There on the bottom two are the two young men who, again, are some of those who locals and spent all day with us everywhere we went. We got to visit the Greenbrier Resort, which is the big, gigantic resort in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. And so we got to spend some time and just goof off. And so a lot of times, and one of the things that you realize, and the kids will recognize this as well, anytime we do anything, and so we run all over the country half the time. We run to youth rallies and to youth nights, and we do all of these things where we run back and forth, and we've got constantly things going on. And there are a lot of occasions when the 2 hours that we spend on the bus to get to the youth rally, or the 2 hours that we spend at Buffalo Wild Wings eating at night, or the, you know, whatever we might, the football game that we get to enjoy together, a lot of times the things that you do that aren't the purpose for what you're doing are the things that are most beneficial to the young people. Because you get to spend time with each other, and you get to just be together, and you get to goof off and build friendships, and you get to act silly and act crazy and do things that you don't normally get to do. And a lot of it, and it's true for everything that we do, and it's true for what we've done here in the summer as well. You can't spend 14, I think we spent 30 hours in the bus together in total for the week, just traveling there and back. Who knows how many hours we spent driving around the community. But you can't spend that much time with somebody all week for that many hours and not become close and not build some relationships. And so, you're laughing. So the purpose, you know, one of the things that we do is get to spend all the time. And I will say, and you all will be proud, we spent that many hours in close quarters and we don't hate each other, right? And we didn't hate each other at the end, and we didn't have people fighting and arguing and having all kinds of trouble. But it's reality, and it's a testament to what kind of young people that you have and what kind of young people you've raised and how much trust we can put in them. And so there are things like this where we get to have fun. There are some things that we did that were a little questionable to some of you, maybe. And so we got to go whitewater rafting on the New River, which is one of the best rafting rivers in the country. And so we drove up to do that. We were out of our minds, but we had fun, and it was a good time. We enjoyed it. We spent all day there on the river and got to enjoy the beautiful scenery, and we were challenged, and we hurt, and very few of us could walk and move our arms the next day, but we did well. And so but this is the kind of stuff that you get to do that you'll never forget, right? They're just experiences that you'll get to do for the rest, that you'll have memories for the rest of your life. And so we have stuff, those kind of things that get done. And then, of course, the real reason that we went, and the substantial reason, the purpose for us going in the first place, was they have enough young kids in the local community that Vacation Bible School still matters in that place. That's not the case everywhere, and it's not the case in different places. It's questionable that whether Springfield produces the kind of fruit, because we're not in a real neighborhood, and there's not a place where we can really do the kind of things that used to work in our community. But it's still the case there that they have a lot of kids who, when there's a Vacation Bible School, the parents will still bring them or put them on the bus or something like that. And so the reason we went in the first place was because they called and said, we want to do a Vacation Bible School, and we don't have the manpower to be able to do it. They could have done something. They have enough young families that they can do a small something. But again, like we said in the beginning, it never, ever, ever would have been able to happen on the scale that it happened without us just being there, just present, and walking kids down the hallways and sitting in there and taking them to the bathroom and all those kind of things that have to happen. It just would not have happened in the way that we did. And so our Vacation Bible School started on Sunday night, and we ran from Sunday through Wednesday. And so what happened after we got there Thursday evening, and so we spent all day Friday and all day Saturday playing and preparing and rehearsing and doing puppets and getting ready to do the dramas and setting up and painting 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 and all those kind of things that have to be done. And then Sunday through Wednesday night, this is what we did every night with the kids. And so we would spend most of the day during the day. We would leave early in the morning and do work like we did out in the parks or something else. Come home in time to eat lunch, and then usually start either get cleaned up and then start rehearsing, or start doing extra painting, or tearing a room apart, or putting it back together, or doing something like that. And VBS started at 5 every night. And so they'd feed us a quick supper, and we would have VBS, and everybody would be gone, and we'd sit down at 9 o'clock and breathe for a few minutes, and then have to try to catch our breath from there. And so for 4 days, this is what we did, and this was the substantial reason that we went. That's one class up on the top, if it tells you what the kind of numbers were. That's one age group. I want to say maybe the 5 and 6 year olds, maybe, or something like that. So one class. These are some of our young people on the bottom, that on the right hand side, one of which is our one of the locals that we got involved. So one of the things we intended to do when we got there was to say, we're going to come and help. And I should have said this at the beginning too. The purpose of us going is not going and doing everything. Okay, the purpose of us going is to go and say, here's what's possible. Here's what you can do if you have people, and if you have people who recognize, you know, if you grow up in a rural place like this and you don't get to come and watch a Miss K VBS, you never know what can really happen sometimes. And so what we do is we brought truckloads of stuff. They built their own puppet theater because they thought it was great, and so they're going to order puppets. And so next year, when they do a Vacation Bible School, either by themselves or have somebody come in, they've got a puppet theater and puppets so that they can do the things that we did. And so part of what we do is to show up and say, we're going to show you how it can be done, show you that it's possible, show you what things can be done and how you can make it successful. And part of that is involving the people who are there. And so we had several of the young families jump in and say, yes, we'll help with this teaching class, or yes, we'll do this, or yes, we'll help you paint. And we had the teenagers who were there every day, not only helping us work, but they were one of them volunteered to be the teacher one night for his class, and so we helped them read through the scripts and play different parts. They all played some sort of part in the skits or the puppets or whatever we did to get them some experience in doing those kinds of things. And so Vacation Bible School itself was a major, major success. So there you are again. There's each on top and on bottom, one age group. And I can't remember, maybe some of you ladies will remember, was it 87 kids or 93? Who remembers? You remember 87, 88, 92, something like that. I think we got over 90 one night, just kids, not including us or the people or the adults, just kids. 90-some kids showed up. And so they physically could not have done it. And so these are our young people. Those are our lions in the end, and some funny costumes, and William on the top. On the bottom, Mackenzie Maples, who's off at Oklahoma Christian, I believe is Dorcas in that particular scene. And so we did a different story every night. Amazing, amazing groups of kids. There's some Dastardly Phil on the bottom right. No, I'm just kidding. Dastardly Phil on the bottom left, and that's Jill on the bottom right. Jill was our Jill and Laura were the gurus for getting decorations and helping get everything together and get the drama ready. Allison Bean was our guru for getting our puppets together. The puppets are up on top. This is what the front of the auditorium looked like, with the puppet theater in the middle and the banners on either side. And so we had 90-some kids to come and to be remembered. There's all of our puppeteers, and so all of them had their own character. I shouldn't say all of them. A lot of them had their own character to be able to participate, and they were the same character most all of the week. So it was an enjoyable time to be able to be together and to watch the kids grow and to flourish and do all of those things. And so one of the things that you, and we mentioned it already, but one of the things that makes these kind of situations beneficial and helpful and amazing is that not only do you get to go and we take them over there and we show a congregation what's possible when you work together and when you have the ability to get along like we get along and be able to put a little bit of resources in, and it shows them that those things are possible. It also helps our young people because of the things that we do and the experiences that they get. But it builds unforgettable relationships when you do these kinds of things. There are people that we met in Wyoming whose names we will never forget, and people who we built some relationships with that we will never forget have made a lasting impact on us. And the same is true, and you're going to make me cry, stop it. So when you go to with these people that we have met, and from little kids to adults, who were moved by the things that we did and who just sobbed and cried when we left, and who become incredibly special to us for how many thank yous they gave and how much love that they showed us. Unbelievable relationships. The young people here, the two young men, Noah and Seth, are the two boys who are their cousins, and they live in West Virginia there in the community. There's one other young lady who's a senior this year. She is not as involved as some of the others are, but they built relationships with all of our young people who were there. And so one of our young ladies just said, "Hey, I talked to Seth yesterday." And so you're building relationships and helping people to see what can happen when you serve the Lord, and when you do it in a passionate way, and when you do it with devotion, and when you do it like this. So this is our final crew. This was the last night. So all of those kids, plus all of our young people, and that includes only maybe one or two adults. And so all of the adults were there, are not even in the picture here. It'll tell you what kind of a situation it was. And so we have all of these things that are amazing. So you saw all the pictures of our kids taking care of the preacher's children who will FaceTime and want to talk to some of our young people because they're little kids and they want to talk to the young people who spent time there. And you've got the relationships with each other, and like we've said, to spend all the time together and share memories together. And the relationships that you build with the adults there, some of the adults were just overjoyed to see, and several of them had said, "I can't believe you have this many teenagers who care about the Lord." And it's amazing to them because they usually watch two or three, and maybe if they have a visitor, but to watch 20-some teenagers show up and actually care about the Lord and actually care about people and actually do wonderful things. I'll just say as we finish, you would be unbelievably proud at how much of an impact they made on people's lives. And that is the honest to goodness truth, not just in saying, you know, in passing. In 100% honest truth, the young people of this congregation had an impact and effect that will never be forgotten on the lives of people there. And they will never forget it. And you would be so proud at how wonderful they did and how proud of them that we are for all of your efforts. And so we thank you for that. We need to thank all the people just as we finish, of everybody who helped out. We already mentioned Laura Luna and Allison Bean and Jill Morrison and my wife and Todd Krause. Todd drove the bus, one of the other buses for us, and then was the handyman all week. But when stuff needed done, we just said, "Todd, go do that." And Todd went and did that. And so we are thankful for those adults to be able to help and to be able to do that. Jason Luna and Miss Kay helped us get everything ready, and we packed all of the tubs and got all the rehearsals and got everybody ready to go before we left. And so we just packed it in bags and took it out there and unpacked it and did everything. And so we have all of these adults that did wonderful things. The elders gave us permission and room and a budget to be able to do the kind of things that we did and spend the kind of money that we had to spend just for things like food. And we got to sleep in the church building, so we didn't spend any lodging money, but just for gas and for food and the things that have to be done. Thank you to the elders for allowing us to do that. Thank you to all of you. Many of you handed checks and cash and said, "Go do this, and here's this, and take this." And many of you brought supplies and all those kind of things that have to be done, that you have to get because that's what makes VBS run. It's the nuts and bolts of things. And so we appreciate everything. And of course, we thank you wonderful young people, all of you. And many of them are not here tonight because they've gone to college and they're not with us anymore. So, but we are thankful that you had the experience, and we're thankful and we're proud of you because you did amazing things for amazing people. One of the things that we mentioned at the beginning was the fact that the Word of God goes forth from people and from the Lord, and God has promised that it will accomplish something. Its purpose is there. That was what we meant to do. That was our goal, to say, we're going to allow this to go forth, we're just going to give it, and the Lord will give increase because He's promised us that He will do that. On the other side of that is one of the things that we have to realize, that as we spend all of this time and effort giving and you know, planting lots of seeds. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew chapter 13 about the sower who is sowing, and he's sowing seeds and he's spreading forth all of these seeds, and some fall in this ground and some fall on that ground, and some are good and some are bad. And one of the things that we challenge us to do is to not just think of ourselves as the sower and not just think of ourselves as the people who do things like this to try to help people, but to make sure that we are the people who have a heart that is of good soil, so that when we spread those kinds of things and people return love and thanks and teaching, that we have a kind of soil that is willing to receive as well, and that's willing to grow and not just be a sower, but be somebody who produces much fruit because we have a heart that's ready to listen and grow. Our young people, I think, are in that boat, and they're growing and maturing, and their soil is being fertilized and built, and we're trying our best to do that. I work hard at that, and I know that you all do as well, and we appreciate you and all the support that you give me and my ministry and my family and the eldership and the deacons and the ones who help us get these things done. Thank you for what you do, because it helps these young people grow and mature. As we finish, we just, as we always do, maybe it's a good way to just ask, are we the kind of people with soil who's willing to receive? Not just allow things to sprout up and die, or not just allow things to never take fruit, but to be the kind of people who will say the Word of God is not just about how much I can get it out, but it's about how much I'm going to receive and how much it's going to produce fruit in my life. We want to offer the invitation tonight, as we always do, to make sure that the soil of our hearts are ready to receive the Word of God. If you're encouraged by this, I hope you are. Maybe it's inspired you to do some things that are better. If we can help you with that, we'd love to. If you're not a Christian tonight, I hope this shows you what can be done and what's waiting for you to be a member of the family of God. I hope that the soil is right in your heart. If it's ready to receive something, we'd love to help. Would you stand and sing and let your need be known?